Well, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Praise God. And what a blessing to wake up each day and know the Lord's presence among us and that He just has incredible plans for our individual lives and for His church collectively. And what a joy to be able to gather as we do as God's people here, united in faith to worship Him. By the way, just a reminder, we invite everybody to sign in on the fellowship pad, that pad at the left end of each pew in front of you, and just let us know you're here worshiping with us, and if there's any info you need to get to the church office, change of email, phone, address, those kind of things, that's a great sheet that you can give that information on as well. We've got a few announcements here this morning I want to draw attention to. Lent is beginning in 10 days. Wow, it's hard to believe. We're in the sixth Sunday of Epiphany already. But a week from Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So traditionally here at Trinity, we have our soup suppers in the evening, the soup luncheons after the morning service. And there's sign-up sheets at the regular place in the Narthex Lounge, far west wall. And so if you're able to bring soup or other food items, if you would sign up for that, that would be greatly helpful for Joyce, or for Peggy, I should say, Peggy Peters, who organizes that in the mornings, and Linda Rains in the evening. And then Joyce, Owl's coming up again, and that's in 11 days from now. So there's a sign-up sheet for Owl's, and the meat will be provided for that meal. So Joyce really needs to have a good idea of the number of people that are planning on coming so that she can bring the proper amount of meat for that event. So please remember to sign up for Owl's. And then we didn't draw attention to this last week other than we had the insert in the bulletin. And Angela Erickson's mother, Sharon, is involved with, is it Life Stories? And you can find an article on the inside back cover of your bulletins. It's page 11. But the details are there. But they are collecting new stuffed animals. And there's a box out in the entryway that you can bring those. And they're collecting them through the month of February. And these are given out to kids that have been treated as victims in a violent crime or they've been witness to that. And that can be quite a comfort to them. So there's flyers, by the way, a stack of these. You may want to take some, hand them out to other people. And the details, they can deposit them here or other places. But these are available, and that's good to get out in the community that others can participate in that as well. Any announcements from the Erickson School or otherwise? You're good. All right. Well, we come here to worship today, and a special order of worship this morning. Everything, as usual, will be presented on the screen. If anybody has a hard time seeing the screen, there are printouts available for you to follow on sheets if you would like. The ushers can get those for you. Well, we begin. Thanks for being here today, Sharon. We begin with the opening hymn.
Thank you.
and as God's possession by His grace. We are blessed to gather in His name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Huh. There we go. We're getting there. Let's start over. Blessed are those whose way is blameless,
who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are the peacemakers,
for they shall be called sons of God.
The Lord has made known His salvation.
He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations.
God calls on us to be blameless, to live in peace with one another, to not hold grudges or be angry with anyone. But we have failed to live as God has instructed. We have created division and discord. We have refused to be reconciled with others. We come before our Heavenly Father to ask for His forgiveness. And we just take a moment in silence for personal confession. Oh, Heavenly Father, we confess that we have not always walked in Your ways. We confess that we have ignored and avoided conflict rather than seek reconciliation. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive our sins, bring Your reconciliation and peace that surpasses all understanding into our lives. And even though we have held on to our anger and resentment of others, our Heavenly Father sent Jesus to be our reconciliation and peace. By the blood of Jesus, we are reconciled to God and can approach Him in all confidence. By the blood of Jesus, we are reconciled with one another. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are reconciled and at peace with God. We are forgiven in Christ.
Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are those whose way is blameless.
Who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are those who keep His testimonies.
Who seek Him with their whole heart.
Who also do not wrong.
But walk in His ways.
You have commanded Your precepts.
To be kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast. Then I shall not be put to shame.
Having my eyes fixed on all Your commandments,
I will praise You with an upright heart.
When I learn Your righteous rules,
I will praise You with an upright heart. Okay. I will keep Your statutes and do not utterly forsake me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Tribute we bring.
you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to bring us peace and reconciliation. Grant that we may forgive others as you have forgiven us by the blood of Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated now as we'll continue with our scripture readings for today. And Mr. Luke Kunze will be sharing those with us.
Our Old Testament reading this morning on the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your hearts turn away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And this is the word of the Lord. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it, and even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building. And this is the word of the Lord.
Now I'd invite the congregation to stand as we speak the words of the verse for today from Ephesians 5, verse 2. Alleluia. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel for this sixth Sunday after the Epiphany comes to us from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the fifth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In this reading today, there are four topics that our Lord covers. The first one is anger. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother would be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother would be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Next, lust. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Next, divorce. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And finally, oaths. Again, you have said that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated now, and at this time the children are invited to come forward for today's children's message that Mrs. Erickson has for you.
This is our church family too. What do we do when we come here to church? What are some of the things we do? In the name of Jesus? We do it in the name of Jesus? We do. We say in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
We pray.
We learn about Jesus because we hear his word. We worship by singing and praising and listening?
We listen.
Oh, we listen. That's important. Yeah. What do we do here, Hattie? What are some things we do when we're here in God's house?
Sunday school.
Okay. We go out to Sunday school or we're learning more of God's word? We have to be quiet. Maybe that goes on with the listening. When we're a little bit quieter, we can listen. What else? Bible verses? We hear Bible verses. Sometimes we see baptisms, right? Sometimes what's here on the altar? Second and fourth Sundays here at Trinity. Communion, we have the Lord's Supper, where we go have the body and blood of Jesus. And something we have every Sunday that nobody has mentioned yet, we have the offering. We have a time for offering. The offering plates go out, and you and your parents might put something in it, and then it gets brought back up here, and we put it back on the altar to show that we're giving it to God, right? In other words, for offering a sacrifice, we're giving that as a sacrifice to God. Our offerings here in church, you might be wondering where they go. Some of them go to help, you know, keep this building, keep the lights and the heat and the water on, but some of it goes out to help other people, missionaries, other projects around town or around our nation. So that offering that you bring here helps here, and it helps God's church around the world too, which is a cool thing. But Jesus had some things to say about bringing your offering today. So it's kind of fun too, especially when you guys get to drop a coin in, right, and it goes like clink. It's kind of fun to do that, or in the Sunday school offering, too, clink. But Jesus says, if you're bringing your offering and you realize that you've been fighting with somebody, you should pause and go find that person and say I'm sorry and ask for forgiveness and tell that person that you forgive them too, and then come back and give your offering. Now, the offering is a good thing, right? Right? Jesus isn't saying he doesn't want us to give our offering. But God tells us many times in the Bible that he cares more about our hearts and where our hearts are at and what they're thinking about than exactly what we're putting in the offering plate. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. We have the story of the widow that all she had was two little coins, and Jesus commended her because that was all she had, right? So God cares more about what's in our hearts. Man, we can maybe even think about things today that we've done that maybe have not been what God would want us to do. We have conflict and sin, right? We might, I don't know, maybe we didn't listen to, oh, can you hand me that? Thank you. Maybe we didn't listen to our parents. Can you hold that for me, Lucy? I'm going to put a sad face on that. Maybe we didn't listen to our parents. Let's see, what else? Maybe we fought with brothers or sisters. Another sad face. Or maybe it was something we didn't do. Maybe other kids at school or somewhere were making fun of somebody else or calling them names, and we didn't ask them to stop or tell them that that's not very nice. That would be a sad face, huh? We have lots of sad things, sin, icky stuff in this world. We know where it came from, right? When did that start? Yeah. When Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden ate the fruit they weren't supposed to. And can I keep that right there? Thank you. And sin is in our world. Ugh. Yucky. We have conflict and maybe not good feelings towards somebody if they said something mean to us, and or maybe we said something mean to them. No, oh man, that makes God sad. But he already had the plan to take care of it, didn't he? He sent Jesus, who was perfect, who never said anything mean to somebody, who always listened to his parents, who was perfect so he could take our place on the cross. And he died with all our sin on him. He died. He had to take our punishment. But he rose again, right? That wasn't the end of the story. He rose again. Yeah, he rose again. And we know that we are going to go to heaven with him someday. Yes, on Easter. We're going to go to heaven with him someday. And all of these things that we have done are all washed away, aren't they? Jesus has washed away our sins. And you know what? He has washed away the sins of everybody else too. Even if somebody did something not nice to us, Jesus has washed that away too. And we have this new life because Jesus is our offering. Jesus was the biggest offering, the biggest sacrifice for God to take care of our sins. So now we, you know, this is hard sometimes, right? I think I saw the word grudge earlier. Do you know what a grudge is? If you have a grudge, Sophia? Or maybe you have it against somebody else too, right? If you did something and you feel bad about it now, but the other person still thinks about it and still mad at you, or somebody else did something to you and you thought it was mean and you're still thinking about it, you're still mad at them, that's a grudge. But Jesus says, you are forgiven and they're forgiven. And, you know, that's important. We're here to praise God. We want to do that too, and we want our hearts too in the right place. But that is hard, but we are so blessed to have the Holy Spirit living in our hearts that gives us God's love, not our love, but God's love. So we'll remember that as we go out and hear about how we are God's building, we're God's people living together in that forgiveness. So I want you guys to think about that today. Can you guys fold your hands and pray with me, please? Dear God, sometimes we say things in anger that hurt other people. Help us to guard against hateful and hurtful words, and forgive us as we ask those who have hurt us for their forgiveness, And if we've hurt them, to forgive us as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your parents.
God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the epistle reading today, and especially the last verse of that reading in the context of hearing it read a few moments ago, but where Paul, inspired by God, wrote these words, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." And you know, when I think about this verse and God describing us as fellow workers, I think about team. And I looked up in Wikipedia just a definition for team. And here's a little bit of a synopsis of that definition. A team is a group of individuals working together to achieve their goal. Teams normally have members with complementary skills and generate synergy through a coordinated effort which allows each member to maximize their strengths and minimize their weaknesses. That's a definition of team. Fellow workers, God's fellow workers, team. And it can mean sacrifice. And I'd like to use an example near and dear to me of a football player I followed years ago, Roger Craig, played for Nebraska in the early 80s. And Roger Craig, in his junior year, ran over 1,000 yards rushing, He was on at the top of the list as a Heisman prospect for the next season. And then Coach Osborne calls Roger into the office. And he says, Roger, can you speak the word fullback without choking on the word? And he said, we've got an incredible running back we've recruited. And Roger, you are one of the best blockers on our team, and we need you to block for him. And Roger's probably not too excited about that. The guy's name was Mike Rozier. First season, Roger blocking for him. He had about 1,600 yards of rushing, was on the top 10 candidates for the Heisman Trophy. And the next year, not Roger Craig, but Mike Rozier gets the Heisman Trophy. And Roger kind of goes out of college football, known but not well known by most. Today, in the mindset of a lot of players, he probably would have transferred and said, hey, I'm a talented guy. I'm going to go where I can be recognized and I can get those 1,000 yards of rushing. But what an example of a team spirit. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, God has a team plan for all of us together here in this room as family of localized Trinity here or other congregations that are represented here among us this morning. But where God has placed us, we are in a team plan together, and certainly the church worldwide collectively by God's design. And we are very blessed as God's people to live under this plan. But it's so important for us to recognize it's not our plan, but it's His plan. It is His layout and design. He is the one that is totally in charge, not you and me. It is His kingdom. It is His plan. And the wonderful good news is that the Almighty God chooses to include us in this incredible plan. You know, there's some beautiful passages in Scripture that really bring this truth to fruition before us. One is Psalm 100, verse 3, where we hear, know that the Lord, He is God. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's where it all starts. Know that the Lord, He is God. In other words, He's the one in charge. He is the Almighty. We are the servants. And then the psalmist goes on to write, it is He who made us, and we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Apart from God, what do we have? Absolutely nothing. We would not even exist. But it is totally by God's grace that we are even living here upon the face of the earth, let alone one of His precious possessions, and being included in His plan. In Colossians 1:10, and I'm throwing verse 9 in there for a context, but, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. There again is the foundation, seeking God's will. He's in charge. It is His plan. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's quite a calling, isn't it? Boy, there's a lot to chew on right there for the rest of today or this week, just in that verse alone. But there's a laid out design and plan that the Lord has for you and me. And the bottom line is the Lord wants us to bear fruit. In other words, the good works that we do that'll bring a blessing to the community in which we live. Ephesians 2:10, just so incredible when you think about these words. Again, God reminding us that we are His workmanship. Again, He's the one giving the gift. He's the one honoring us. He is the one in charge. It is His plan. And we are blessed to be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And then look at that, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is so incredible. Have you ever really chewed on those words very long? That God has this plan laid out for you and me individually. He's got specific work for each one of us to do. We don't even know what it is yet. But God's got this path laid out for us individually as a family here at Trinity collectively and as the church worldwide even more collectively. But it's a preordained plan. It isn't just by chance or accident, but God is working incredible things in the world, and we're blessed to be a part of that. And so God graciously includes His church, the body of believers, to carry out this incredible plan. And so as God's people, in light of this, we really are team. We have a common goal. But you know, this is the opposite of the way our sinful flesh thinks. And our sinful nature doesn't like this team mentality. And certainly our sinful nature doesn't want anything to do with God's will. Remember, we as believers are saint and sinner. And so we have that sinful nature that still hangs on, tries to get our attention, tries to consume our life. And basically what it says is, I don't care about you, I just care about me. And I'm the one that wants to be in charge, and I want things done my way. That's what our sinful nature thrives on. And God certainly warns, doesn't He, in the readings just that we've heard today, about the tendencies of our sinful nature, of wanting to be in charge, of doing things our own way. In the Old Testament reading, as Moses is preparing God's people to enter the promised land and speaking on behalf of God, and Moses says, but if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them. See, that's what our sinful nature thrives on. Run after other gods. Run after other things instead of the God who is the only true living God who created us. But our sinful nature wants nothing to do with God. We want to create our own gods. And then in the gospel reading, of course, boy, those were tough words this morning, weren't they, as the Lord shares them with us. But Jesus says, first be reconciled to your brother. You're right on with me here, Angela, with the children's message. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. You see, our sinful nature doesn't want to reconcile. Again, we want it our own way. And you know what happens in that is the team effort is broken. It's shattered. And now it becomes each one of us striving to do our own individual thing, our own way, and that can lead to nothing but division within the family of Christ. And we see it happen in the church. It's happened here at Trinity. And it happens everywhere because we are sinful human beings. And sometimes that ugly, sinful nature rises up and shows itself. And so instead of being in this together, we see ourselves as rivals. We get into competitions with one another and power struggles that can go on within a local congregation. And then party spirit begins to develop and you get the cliques and you get people, groups of people standing against other groups of people. And it may not be real evident, but under the table it's going on. And it really can totally destroy an individual and a congregational ministry life as well. And that was what was going on at Corinth. You had those saying, well, I follow Paul. Well, I follow Apollos. And so you had these little groups within the body of Christ that were no longer following Christ, but they were rallying around human leaders among them, even though Paul and Apollos were not getting them or attempting to get them to do this. Paul is actually confronting it here. You see, in this team effort, as God has designed it, as fellow workers, it's not about me. but it's about He. It's about God and His will and His plan, because again, it's only by His grace that we're blessed to be on His team. Otherwise, we would be out there in the lost world doing our own thing. Did you hear it? We are God's field. You know, in a commentary, I found a beautiful description of God's field, and it goes like this. You are God's field or tillage. He is the proprietor of the field, the occupier of it, the husbandman who breaks up the fallow ground of the hearts of His people. He casts in the seed of His grace. He makes the ground good. He causes it to bring forth fruit. The churches of Christ are His property, land of His fertilizing, and all the fruit belongs to Him. They are gardens of His planting and vineyards of His watering, in which He keeps night and day. Isn't that a beautiful description? And that's who we are blessed to be by God's grace. We are included in being fellow workers, God's field, and God's building. We are part of the building, part of the church, as the Lord often in Scripture uses that analogy. In 1 Peter, for instance, chapter 2, verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Isn't that beautiful? To be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's who we are called to be. Roger Craig made a sacrifice for the team, but this is at a whole nother level, that you and I are called to make spiritual sacrifices in order to faithfully strive to follow God's will. And humbling, isn't it? Because the attention now isn't on me or you or anyone else, but the focus is where it needs to be, upon God, whose team we belong to. And realizing apart from Him, we are nothing and we can do absolutely nothing. So it's about He, not me. We are blessed. We are blessed to be God's precious possession. It's how we became part of this team. It's how we became part of the body of Christ. We weren't seeking it out, nor did we even have the ability to do that. But God sought you and me out. And again, some beautiful passages. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9. By the way, these are all in the bulletin again if you want to look these up sometime this week. But Paul writes, as God inspired these words, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. There it's emphasized again, because of the grace of God, that in every way you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge. So the Lord is the one that is working in the hearts of every individual. There's nothing we can bring to the table and say, I did that. It's God working through us with what He provides. And even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. And isn't that incredible that God provides the local family of Christ every gift we need in order to serve Him in this incredible plan? As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a testimony from heaven that you and I, as children of God, who have been brought in by His grace, we are guiltless. Even though we are sinners and worthy of all kind of guilt, God absolves us. We are forgiven. The guilt is washed away. God is faithful, by whom you were called, and here it is, into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are so incredibly honored and blessed. I think we all need to look at each other and say that this morning. Just pick somebody out in the crowd. You know what, Sharon? We are so honored and blessed, aren't we? Yeah. We, You know, we're not rivals here, or shouldn't be. But as we look at each other, we can celebrate the blessing that God bestows upon one another. We are here in this together. We are ones who know redemption, that Jesus, through his shed blood at the cross, he held himself fully accountable for our sin. He paid for it with his shed blood. He bought us back. We are redeemed. And in so doing, we are reconciled. That broken relationship has been restored. And we are blessed to be in the family of the Lord. And with that comes transformation. This is all God's doing, which is really awesome. In 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10, talk about a description of the church in these words. You are a chosen race. I'm looking at royalty out here as I look over this congregation, because here it is. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, and there it is again, a people for his own possession. We are the possession of the Almighty God. Doesn't get any better than that, guys. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's a description of every one of us in this room. That is something really, isn't it, to celebrate, because we are a people belonging to God so that we may go forth and proclaim his praises. Not about me, but about he. And when we do that together, what a testimony in the community. And so we get back to this workmanship, or working together in his kingdom. You know, it's the Lord's business. He furnishes the ability for the work as well as the opportunities. God lays all of this out for us. And this is what he's really stating in that term, that title, fellow workers. You know, at the beginning of Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're looking at chapter 3 today, but chapter 1, verse 10, we see these words. I appeal to you, brothers, and by the way, brothers and sisters, children of God, it's the church. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Boy, there's a handful in that passage, isn't there? But the key words, agreement, and that's in doctrine. And praise God for being part of a denominational that's a confessional church body, and that we together, not only in our local congregations here in this area of the Missouri Synod, but throughout the nation and throughout the world, we are united. We are in agreement in understanding God's word. And with that, there are to be no divisions, no schisms. But we are to be one together. And you see the word united. And that's the purpose. If we're all focused on God, then we are united. Because he is one and he has his plan and purpose for us. And being of the same mind. By the way, that doesn't mean we all think the same or we all look at a problem in the same way. No, it means we bring all our ideas to the table. But the same-mindedness among us is respect for one another. That we have the mind of Christ among us. That we genuinely love one another. And we can lay all the ideas on the table and together, prayerfully, seek a solution to whatever God's will is in that matter. And that comes down to that same judgment. Quite the opposite, isn't it, of what our sinful nature wants. We're not in this in a competitive way. We're not in this in a power struggle. We're not in this as being rivals of one another. But we are in harmony. And you know, harmony depends on faithfulness to Christ first and foremost. not chasing our own agendas or ideas. It's kind of like that team spirit of Roger Craig. And the rest of the story with Roger, his senior year, only had 500 yards rushing. And sorry, 49ers fans, about the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago. That was quite a game, wasn't it? Well, years ago in Super Bowl, it was in 1985. I forget which number that was for Super Bowls. But the 49ers beat the Dolphins. And guess who one of their star running backs was? Roger Craig. In fact, up to that point, he was the only player that scored 3 touchdowns in a single Super Bowl. Do you think God blessed Roger down the road? You know why he was drafted by the 49ers? He could block. And he ended up becoming a star running back as well. We don't know all the details in God's plan. But what we do know is God's directive that we seek Him and that He will bless us. And boy, at Trinity, Redeemer, wherever we are blessed to be serving, God is doing incredible things among us. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may we grow in the spirit of this unity that is laid before us this morning, rejoicing in the opportunity to serve and honored to be fellow workers. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And at this time, I would invite the congregation to stand if you are able. And we are going to make confession of our faith in song. And you may be seated. And I invite the congregation, if you're able, to stand. And let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, we thank you for the grace that you supply to us ongoing. We thank you, Lord, for guiding and guarding our faith individually and our family of Christ in this congregation or wherever we are blessed to be a member collectively. And Lord, may we continue in this journey, humbly seeking your will, looking with excitement and anticipation to the work that you have planned in advance for us to do. Lord, life is truly an adventure in following you. And we thank you for the honor that you work through us to bring blessings to others. And most of all, to share the good news of your love and truth that many others may also come to faith. Lord, bless the ministry in this place and throughout the world. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, there are many names in the bulletin this morning, as always, of individuals going through severe trials of various kinds in their lives. And Lord, we thank you that all of these are known to you in every detail of what they are dealing with in this journey. Lord, we have been praying for Dan Jesmanek, who had surgery a couple weeks ago, and we praise you, Lord, that Dan can be here physically with us in worship again this morning. Lord, at the same time, we hold up to you Kathy Winsheimer, who they discovered a huge growth in her abdomen, and that has to be removed, and she is facing surgery this coming Tuesday. Lord, for Karen Rutt, who has discovered that she has cancer, and now working with the doctors, formulating a plan of how to attack this. And Lord, we pray your blessings upon Kathy and Karen and the medical people that work with them. And we pray for your intervention and your miracles of healing in their lives. Give them peace, Lord, in this journey, knowing that their lives are safe and secure always with you. Lord, we pray for Cody Schmidt, as Cody has been on quite a journey, 3 years old, battling cancer and all the chemotherapy. And now this week, he's going to begin a new treatment on Wednesday. Lord, we pray that this will bless Cody and this treatment will work. We thank you for the success of the past treatment. treatments. And Lord, just continue to guide and protect his life and be with his family. Lord, we rejoice that Pam Claver is back with us after flying to California to be with her 50-year-old daughter, Barbara, who had a heart attack. And Lord, we praise you that Barbara is home again and doing well. We pray, Lord, that you will oversee and protect her life. Lord, we ask your blessings upon all the names that are listed and many other names that weigh heavy, I'm sure, on our hearts and minds. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for a neighbor to Ron and Tammy Gamalek, Stan Sessions. His son, Scott, was murdered in Fort Collins this past week. Lord, can't imagine the shock of a family going through what this family is dealing with. But Lord, be with them and uphold them. And in the face of the shock and the tragedy of this event, may they see your presence with them and your love for them. Lord, be with Ron and Tammy as neighbors, as they have opportunity to minister to them as well. Lord, we pray that in the midst of the shock and tragedy that this family can see your love and the victory of salvation won. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we rejoice with Joyce and Verda Seinspar as on Valentine's Day, they celebrated 19 years of life together as one on this earth. And also Joyce celebrated another year of life on earth with her birthday. Lord, we thank you for this lovely couple and all the blessings that you shower upon them and the blessings that you bring to all of us through them. Lord, continue to guide and bless them. And we just thank you, Lord, for the incredible blessings you shower upon them. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for the Voice of Martyrs, a ministry that reaches out to those in the world being severely persecuted because of their Christian faith. Lord, we pray for Mayfree, a former drug dealer in Indonesia, and his family. As Lord, you intervened in their lives, you called them to faith, and now they, in a very violent area and places to Christians, they are boldly sharing the gospel. Lord, enable them to stay on fire with your word and to share it despite the dangers. And we pray that for all the Christians that are living in the area of Indonesia and any part of the world where they may be in danger. May your word, Lord, change the hearts of many. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask your blessings continually upon the ministry in this place and our congregations that are represented here this morning. And Lord, continue to guide and direct us. May your will and purpose be accomplished among us. We ask it in your precious name, Jesus, honored to know and privileged to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And Lord, also we pray for Vernie Daubert as Vernie was taken to the hospital last night. And Lord, we don't know all the details, but we pray that you would be with Elaine and Vernie and bless them. And Lord, on this journey they have been going on as a couple. And Lord, we pray that you would protect Vernie and most of all, give him that peace only you can provide. Lord, we ask all of this in your most wonderful and incredible name. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Go now in his peace. Amen. go in God's peace and serve the Lord.